Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as we continue to break down this victory from Sunday over the Detroit Lions, 34-27, the positive signs for the offense. We talked in our previous show about Aaron Rodgers obviously getting back on track. But I think the thing that is the biggest reflection of what Mike McCarthy emphasized in the preseason, with how the Packers were so dedicated to the run in the preseason and getting that facet of their game going, to see that commitment and dedication really show up in this Week 3 victory was important.
It was, Mike. And I want to tell you a little story. This is story time with Wes Hodd right now.
Okay.
When I was in flag football as a youth, elementary school, I was our team's running back. You look at me, you probably think, okay, athlete, obviously. Our coach emphasized many times the importance of running the ball. And they gave the ball to me in a lot of clutch situations late. Our team did not have a very good record. The difference between Wes Hodd in elementary school and the Green Bay Packers now is the Packers have a running back who's very capable of running the way he ran on Sunday. That was a long story to make a short point. But the fact of the matter is, the Packers know what Eddie Lacy can do. You saw him make such a big jump, I think, this offseason with his conditioning. He was ready for this opportunity. He talked about it last week, and when it came time to show it on the field, him and the offensive line, that whole structure, really, I thought, showed up big.
Yeah, and Mike McCarthy called himself out after the loss to the Vikings, you might say, with noting that he needs to get the running backs more opportunities. He needs to get Eddie Lacy more involved, and he was true to his word against the Lions. And when we look back to, as I said before, how the Packers were so dedicated to the running game in the preseason, Mike McCarthy said earlier this week after the Lions' victory that the running game right now is ahead of the passing game for the Packers on offense. And excuse me, that's a reflection of how the preseason went for this team. I call it somewhat by choice and by circumstance. The passing game didn't get to where it needed to be at the start of the season by choice, because Aaron Rodgers did not play much in the preseason, and by circumstance. Jared Cook had an injury. Jordy Nelson's injury kept him out of the preseason game. So all of that factored into where the Packers are, and the fact that their running game is ahead of the passing game right now. Mike McCarthy said that's new for him. He's never had that before at this stage of the season, but he's okay with it.
He is. And to steal a Mike Spoffordism, let's be real here. The Green Bay Packers, there's so many different components to the passing game. 7 receivers, 3 tight ends, the running backs factoring into that. It's okay that the passing game isn't out of the world to start the season. But you look at the running game, you have 2 running backs right now in James Starks and Eddie Lacy. Starks has been here for now for 6 years. Lacy the last 3 years. That duo together, there's a lot of familiarity there. There's a lot. It's proven what they can accomplish on the field. So to me, it's not like it's a huge surprise that the running game is where it's at right now. They've had success in the past. Ever since Lacy came on board, they've been a top 12 running game. So right now, I think the key is, as Mike McCarthy emphasized, you build off that. You build off that foundation. You let the passing game find itself. That's what the regular season's for. But in this interim, when you have someone like Lacy and has reformed kind of some of his training techniques, I think it makes a lot of sense to give him touches, and that's something they certainly did both in the first and second half against the Lions.
Yeah, and we saw them do that in 2 different ways, you might say. In the first half, the Packers came out more in a standard I formation with Aaron Ripkowski at fullback leading through the hole. Ripkowski then left the game by halftime with a back injury, unfortunately. But then the Packers went to a single back set and ran the toss plays to one side or the other with Rodgers under center to get Lacy going. And in fact, he started the second half with, I believe it was 4 straight carries that gained 30 yards and got things going. You could see the Packers really controlling the line of scrimmage there. So it isn't just there isn't just one way to do it with this running game. Mike McCarthy is still using the multiple personnel packages, the multiple looks to get things going.
The thing I loved about the second half, too, and I know a lot of people are saying, well, they didn't pass it enough or whatever, but they really ran the ball effectively when they needed to. That 30 yards that Lacy generated, that helped set up the 46-yard field goal by Mason Crosby, which gave them a lot of leverage during the fourth quarter in terms of always having at least a touchdown lead. And I also really liked how the the offensive line blocked on that series.
Yeah.
You look at David Bakhtiari really getting on his man and pushing him. I thought Lane Taylor had some good snaps. T.J. Lang and Brian Bulaga moving over sometimes to help seal to the left. And J.C. Treader was really active at the second level, in my opinion. So to have those two facets clicking, I think this is the time you got to get it going, and I really thought it showed up against Detroit.
Yeah, and to echo another thought of McCarthy's from his Monday press conference, teams that run the ball well usually stop the run well also because of what they focus on in practice,
right.
And we saw the Packers do that throughout the preseason and in training camp. So we'll switch gears and talk about that defense a little bit when we come back after the break, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, if we shift gears to the defense now from the Lions game, got some good news, you might say, from Mike McCarthy on Monday, talking about four of the regulars on defense that missed the game: Clay Matthews, Dayton Jones, Morgan Burnett, and LaTroy Guyon. McCarthy wasn't making any declarations as far as their recovery, but said, sounded pretty confident that by the time the Giants game rolls around after the bye on October 9th, that those four players have a good chance of being back in the lineup.
Yeah, it's funny how this always works out, and it's kind of sort of a overused narrative with, oh, you know, you, the beginning of the year, you don't like the week four bye, and, well, once it comes around, it's a good timing or whatever. A lot of guys in the locker room said, oh, we'd still prefer it to be later. But you take it for what it is. And if you go back to 2013, I don't know if you remember this, Mike, but it was a bye week that kind of was saved by the bell for Clay Matthews as well. I believe might have been a hamstring injury.
Yeah,
I can't remember
he
exactly.
He was dealing with an injury at that time as well.
So it bought them a little bit of time. Certainly, I thought it was impressive that they were able to get through that game and control the first half the way they did, despite missing four solid key contributors and also Demaryius Randall going in and out with that illness. But certainly, when you come back from the bye now, you hope that you can get, especially those guys in the defensive front back. I think that's going to be really key because as well as these young guys have played, you can't really replace that experience. And there's a lot of guys there that have played a lot of snaps for the Packers and effectively.
Yeah, we didn't get an official injury update on Sam Shields with regards to his concussion or Jared Cook with the ankle injury or Aaron Ripkowski with the back injury. So we'll have to wait until after the bye week and when the Packers return to practice next week to see what's up with those particular players. But you and I have talked pretty much all through the regular season so far about how the Packers have been consistently generating pressure on quarterbacks and the fact that they were able to do so again against Detroit without Clay Matthews, I think speaks to some of the depth, some of the options that they have there. Now, they didn't get to Matt Stafford as far as any sacks until the fourth quarter, but the sacks they did get in the fourth quarter were pretty big ones.
I mean, you could draw a direct correlation to the Packers being able to finally get that stand that they needed in the fourth quarter, much like what happened in Jacksonville, where, okay, there might have been some big plays there, but when the defense needed to be clutch, they certainly did that. And this was something, it was funny, Kyler Fackrell, the rookie out of Utah State, third-round pick for the Packers, got his first career sack in that game, was really close to almost having his second. And he said it was really interesting on the sideline. You know, the coaches, I think it was Winston Moss, and they were discussing how, hey, you're wearing on these tackles. Even if you're not getting the sacks, even if you don't have as many hits as you think you might want, you're being able to wear them down. And that's what happened late. Two series there, right at the end of the game, that I thought really were decisive in them picking up this victory. You get the two sacks from Perry. Fackrell has his as well. And that went a long way in this game. It might not have been the barrage of pressure that they had in Minnesota, but it was timely and it was effective.
Yeah, well, and we've talked about it before. Offensive linemen prefer to run the ball.
Right.
And pass protecting is tough duty for those guys. And for the Lions in particular in this game, they were behind. They were behind by multiple scores. They had to throw the ball to catch
right.
up. And when you are constantly, your quarterback, every play is dropping back to pass, dropping back to pass, eventually, you know, the dam is going to break because it's really hard for offensive linemen to pass block play after play after play when the defense does not have to play the run, and the Packers finally broke through there in the fourth quarter.
Absolutely, and it wasn't even like, you know, the Packers weren't having any success whatsoever. I mean, earlier in the game, Mike Daniels, just within centimeters of taking down Matthew Stafford, that was something that he was lamenting in the locker room afterwards, even after they'd won the game. Those are the opportunities that they know when they do have those chances, they need to capitalize on them. And I just thought that was the biggest key late, is that whether it was Fackrell right across, that he had made such a nice move on Decker to kind of rope-a-dope him a little bit and then get on the outside and get the sack. Perry just continues with his bull rush and the other stuff that he's developed to be able to really make a lot of hay at that left spot. And that was the key. When it came time to for it, they got a lot of tackles for a loss throughout the game, but being able to finally get Stafford on the ground late is really the reason I think the Packers were able to stop the Lions and allow their offense to have that four-minute drive at the end of the game to put it away.
Yeah, the one thing, if there's one thing that that kind of deserted the defense in terms of what they had done well through the first 2 weeks and didn't show up, unfortunately, against the Lions, it was the third down defense. Through the first 2 weeks, opposing offenses converting only, I think it was 27 or 29%, something like that, on third down, ranked in the top five or six in the league. The Lions ended up 8 out of 14, above 50%. And you don't like to see that, certainly, if you're Dom Capers in the defense. And I think the most disconcerting thing about that, there were a couple of the third and twos and third and ones, but five of those 8 third down conversions were when 6 or more yards were needed. And those are the situations where Dom Capers expects his defense to get off the field, and they just weren't as consistent with that against Detroit, and it contributed to Detroit being able to come back.
Well, and if you look at Dom Capers' defense in 2016, at least for the last few years, the real bread and butter has been getting teams in third and long situations, being able to drop a little bit. If you give up a few yards, fine, but get them down before the first down. They've done that especially well in the first 2 weeks of the season. And this was one game where I think you got to give Detroit a lot of credit. They were able to find some of those soft cushions in the zone defense to be able to move the chains. And they certainly have a litany of options for that. I mean, you look at Anquan Boldin, that's been something that's been his strong suit for a number of years. Eric Ebron, when he was in the game, I thought was very effective in that capacity. Again, they were able to stop the run, as you mentioned earlier, but it's about, in those critical downs, being able to get those necessary stops. They've done it well so far. It just was something that kind of slipped away a little bit against Detroit.
Yeah, and just one or two other third down stops, and we might not be talking about just a 7-point game. So, but still plenty more to talk about from this Week 3 victory by the Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, revisiting a couple of issues on special teams from the victory over Detroit. We heard from special teams coordinator Ron Zook on Monday talking about some of the things that went on in the game. The high snap on the punt, we mentioned in our previous show, probably the first truly bad snap of Brett Goode's 9-year NFL career. And Ron Zook told us that he actually hit a divot when he was trying to snap the ball, and that's why it ended up sailing on him. So I don't know what it is about Detroit and divots, because wasn't it a divot on Mason Crosby's potential game-winning field goal in 2015, and the kick went all crazy, and the Packers lost by 2 points. But anyway, one of those things that can crop up, and you're just glad that in this case, a divot did not cost the Packers a ball game.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons I really enjoy how you get these opportunities to really talk to the coordinators the day after games and, you know, get their perspective on things. Because certainly that's something that when you watch it, you don't see that. You don't know what's going on in the trenches. So to gain that perspective, I thought was really enlightening. And it probably gives you a little bit more of an insight into why that happened. Because as you mentioned, I mean, Brett Goode has been so consistent throughout the course of his career.
Yeah.
To have one that's that high, I think, was somewhat startling more than it was even, in terms of just being shocking for the sake of the play.
Sure.
But certainly that's also the reason why they have the punters do verticals at the combine and in these drills. I mean, that's Jake Shum got up there. He pulled it down, got the punt off. I know you're going to look at his average, his net average at the end of the game and be like, oh, it was only 33.5. But, I mean, it was a critical 33.5, and it's one of the reasons why the Packers were able to win.
Yeah, for sure. And the other noteworthy play on special teams from the Lions game, Ty Montgomery with the kickoff out of bounds, the savvy, sneaky play, I guess you might say, he made there where he put his feet out of bounds and reached in and grabbed the ball. Ron Zook told us that the play that Randall Cobb made a few years ago, standing up and straddling the out-of-bounds line right in front of the pylon and picking up a kickoff to give the offense the ball at the 40, that is part of the Packers' teaching tapes as far as kickoff return. And he said that Ty Montgomery has probably seen that tape, that piece of tape in film study at least three or four times just in his season plus here in Green Bay. So give Ty Montgomery a lot of credit for being able to do that in the heat of the battle, but also give the coaching staff credit for continuing to use a piece of tape that's very instructional.
Absolutely. And it was funny, even I went back and watched the Randall Cobb play once more after the game, just to remember it. I remember, yeah. I kind of remember what happened, but it was also trying to like understand how exactly it came about. And it's so fascinating watching it, because on the TV copy, the announcer's even like starting to chastise him, like, why would you down it? Why would you down it at the four? And, well, no, I mean, he steps out of bounds, and it's like, and then the other guy corrects him. He's like, he just took, that was a very smart play. And it was. It was really heads up. And for Montgomery to have the presence of mind, that's what really impressed me about the Montgomery play. You know, the Cobb one, it was things were a little bit more quiet. It didn't seem like he had the defense or the coverage team bearing down on him as much. Montgomery's was really heady because, I mean, he's telling the guys in front of him to make sure they stay on their blocks. You have the coverage team coming down. He wings around the pylon, stretches out, gets the ball, and gets the 40 yards. At a time in which the Packers were talking about the importance of field position,
yep,
really, I thought, gave them a big boost. And as we discussed, four plays, 60 yards for a touchdown on the ensuing drive, a 49-yard pass to Jordy Nelson to get it catapulted. And that was something that I thought really went far into being able to establish that momentum early.
Yeah, as you said, a moment that Montgomery really kept his wits about him. It was kind of confusing because the ball landed in the end zone
bounced
but bounced
out.
Back. Now, if that happens on a punt, that's a touchback. But on a kickoff, it's not. If that ball bounces in the end zone and comes back into the field of play, it's still a live,
right,
it's still a live ball. So Montgomery has to know that and needs to know what to do in that situation. So,
and what's fascinating, too, if you go back and watch the Cobb play, if Cobb waits about another half a second, I think that ball bounces out of bounds. With Montgomery's, that thing was dead.
Oh, yeah,
that,
it was
it
sitting
was
there.
It was stopping
yeah.
there.
Yep.
And for him to be able to do that, I mean, it could have been a disastrous play if he's not that smart and doesn't make that decision. And, again, you just have to tip your cap to him. And Ty Montgomery, first month of the season here, has made some big plays for the Packers.
Yeah, I agree. Well, before we throw it to another break, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business here. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 12th by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/bestseats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. Final segment here, Wes, and I know you like to talk about Spoff stats and info. Well, this, unfortunately, is going to be a Spoff rant and info because, in all seriousness, though, we've received a lot of emails in the insider inbox for the daily column on Packers.com criticizing the Packers and Mike McCarthy and the offense for going all conservative in the second half and letting the Lions back into the game and everything. And I just don't think the play-by-play, the facts of the matter support the allegation that the Packers went all conservative. Before the last 3.5 minutes that the Packers had to kill, they had three offensive drives in that second half. Four times on those three drives, there was a field goal and two punts. Four times on first or second down, a pass play was called. every third down on those three drives, a pass play was called. You had a holding penalty that affected the drive for the field goal. You had a dropped pass on first down that affected the second drive that ended in a punt. And those things, I just think people look at the statistics of, oh, there were these runs and these passes. Well, a couple of those called pass plays ended up being scrambles. There were sacks. There was one sack involved on a pass play. You can't just look at, oh, they ran it this many times and passed it this many times, and they went conservative. It doesn't hold up. I don't think the Packers really took that approach.
No, I agree with you, Mike. And to be honest with you, I really liked that first series come out of halftime. I mean, they did. They killed almost 6 minutes on that series, or actually a little over 5 minutes, excuse me. Eddie Lacy, as we talked about earlier, was really productive.
Yeah.
It made a lot of sense to me. And you look at the other two, I mean, Jake Shum didn't have his first punt until like 9:40 left in the game. So, I don't really buy into it either. And the fact that they had a successful four-minute offense to end the game, I thought it was everything you could want more. As we've talked about before on the show, everybody wants to win by 50 points. Everybody wants to score 100 to generate 400 total yards and give up none. That isn't the way it works. And as a number of guys said in the locker room afterwards, they're getting, you know, the Detroit Lions are trying to win this game too. They're trying to get production, and it goes both ways.
Yeah, you can't just look at the fact that the Packers scored 31 points in the first half and 3 in the second half and say they took their foot off the gas.
Right.
The way the Packers were trying to score points and to have a holding penalty, I think a somewhat questionable holding penalty, but a holding penalty affected what would have been a first down inside the red zone and pushed them back, and they had to kick the field goal. And then the drop pass on first down that would have moved the chains and possibly, you know, taken Detroit right out of the game midway through the fourth quarter. So, but we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, at Wes Hodd, at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account on Twitter. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.